Demas. Anybody know what the name Demas means? Well, I do because I looked it up and I've been studying about this fella. Boy, he was a good guy. He was like a lot of fellas today. I want to take from what Paul and the 2 Timothy epistle, pastoral epistle over there in the 4th chapter. And if you would, I want you to look at verse 9 and 10. 9 and 10, if you would. I'm going to try to make this brief, you know. Now, my son, we had a talk, and we've got a code going on this morning, so don't look back there. I told him, I said, now listen, when it's 10 till, I want you to start raising your hand like this and wiggle your fingers. And when it's 5 till, I want you to do this, you know. And then when it's time over, you just go like that, you know. You've done it. But anyway, seriously, I don't want to go, you know, my son is very, and my wife, she's kind of, you know, she goes with the flow and giving up on me a long time ago. It's this time for him. I get excited. It's hard to stop. It's like, you know how it is. Our pastor knows how it is. And so let's get into the message and enough talk. Amen. I want to talk to you about Demas, the story of a backslider this morning. This fellow is a very interesting passage. Interesting fella. In the beginning, but he goes from glad to sad situation, makes Paul glad in the beginning earlier. Demas is mentioned 3 places in the New Testament. The first two, he's presented by the Apostle Paul as a great man of God, as a fellow laborer, co-worker with the Apostle Paul, which Paul, you know, his ministry, how burdened and heavy loaded that man of God was. The Lord said he would be a great servant of God, Paul was. And, you know, the pastor here, he doesn't do it all. Now, he's got a great responsibility, but the burden, the load that he carries ought to be shared and is supposed to be by the Bible teaching this, by backing up fellow servants, the church, to support him. And I'm glad that I can support this fellow. Now, I want you to notice my brother. And brother, I love you. And it's been a real blessing. We're going to look at this tragedy of spiritual desertion. And that's what we see Demas the deserter, if you want to put a title, or the story of the backslider. But let's read the verse. Here we are, 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4 and down in verse 9. And by the way, I got to tell you, the Apostle Paul talks about people that have given him a hard time here, you know. And Alexander the coppersmith there did me much evil, Paul says in verse 14. The Lord reward him. And in other words, you know, Paul says, you know, just like the archangel Michael with the devil. He said, the Lord will rebuke you. The Lord will deal with you. The Lord's, he is sovereign. It is his position, and we are not going to usurp authority. We're not going to try to get out of line. We're at the Lord. He's on the throne. He's going to take care of him, and he'll take care of all those that do evil to the work of God, to the servants of God. So, you know, we cast our cares upon him who cares for us, Peter says. But then he goes talking about the devil. He says, you know, we'll get over there. Let's read this verse here. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come on to me shortly, he tells Timothy, Paul. He tells him, he said, now, Paul's writing, he's warning Timothy, he's encouraging Timothy, he's instructing Timothy to tell him exactly where we're at in that point back in Paul's life. And I believe it's similarly, just like today, similarly, we are in the same lot, and I'm going to show you this at the end of the message. But watch thou in all things, Paul tells Timothy. Now look at verse 10. Here it is. He says, come quickly. Do thy diligence to get here. Why? Because the four there, because Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, man. You know, you can just feel what Paul is expressing there. Come quickly, Timothy. Where's Paul? These are pastoral epistles, but also jail epistles. Paul is in jail. He's about ready to be headed, and he was, for the word of the Lord, the ministry of Christ. So this is what we see. It's so Anyway, Phil, hey, if you could help me bring up my water, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, it's because I don't want a dry sermon. I mean, did I say sermon? Lesson. Okay, let's move on. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he's going over to Thessalonica. Maybe the old stomping grounds over there. Oh, you're awesome. Thank you so much, because I'll need that here in just a second. But he said there at the end of verse 10, he says, Grecians to Galatia, you know, Demas went to Thessalonica, Grecians to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Now, I think it's just the negative aspect of that verse is just Demas. But Grecians to Galatia, the Galatians needed to be constantly taught of the great message of faith that brings about salvation, faith in Christ. The only salvation, through faith, through trust, the whole trust in Christ, nothing. But so here's Cretans, he goes to Galatia. They needed continuation of teaching. You know, all the Lord's churches, it's a ministry. How much time, Tom, Pastor, do you get in a week to talk to your congregation if they're here Sunday morning, Sunday school? That'd be one thing. If they're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You don't see them all. So very limited time. And he's got to pack all that lessons that he's had, all that instructions that he's learned, and to bring and to give to the people that are not here. You know, our pastor, just like a lot of ministers, you know, they don't want to preach to empty pews. I mean, that's not what we're called to do, you know. But so it burdens our heart when people become caught up with things, sidetracked with things. And here's Demas. We're going to see. It just didn't happen overnight, okay? The backing of the world that what he had known and what it would have been, and it is constantly alluring, okay, and into the trap, the net of the devil. And that's what happens here with all those that are like Demas. So here, as he closes, we find Paul and Timothy here. He reflects on those who closely associated with his ministry. Demas, you have forsaken me. Demas becomes an example of a backslider in Scripture. Whenever you mention Demas, by the way, do you know what Demas means, his name? You're right. Popular. You're no kidding. I don't know, did they name him Popular because, you know, didn't know what other name to name him? Very important, significant names in Old Testament, New Testament, whether names of places or people, persons that is, you know. Very important because many a times, like the Old Testament prophets, reflects their ministry. Many a times the people that if I mention Judas Iscariot, oh, right away, you've got a picture in your mind exactly about that man who was used as son of perdition, you might say. He was used of the devil, and he was led by the devil to betray the loving Lord. Sad. But here we find at the close of the ministry here, Paul, he talks about this backslider, one who had made a profession of faith, one who was involved in the serving of God. He's a helper. He's a co-worker. And I told you there's other passages. We'll get to those. But here is number one. We go start at the end because that's where I need to. And we'll look at it back at, we find over in Colossians where Paul is mentioned over in Colossians. We see that he's mentioned in Philemon. Over in Colossians and Philemon, for time's sake, I'll give you the reference here in a minute. But Paul speaks about Demas in a good way. I mean, in a great way. I mean, he's really elevated and helped Paul in his spirit that he has a co-worker, you know, working together, laborers together. And boy, I'll tell you, that's what pastors need. That's what ministers, those that serve God, they need help. And how blessed it is for those pastors that have helpers. Amen? And so this morning here, we speak about the warning signs, you might say, or the indications of terrible conditions, of the terrible condition of being a backslider, being backslidden. And a lot of people are. You know, there's distractions. First of all, you're right, taking notes. The distractions abound. Now, the distractions. What led Demas into becoming from a faithful to an unfaithful servant? We find that there were distractions, number one, that abounded. The distraction of the possessions. I mean, the getting and keeping material things. Remember what Christ, our Lord, said in Matthew 6? 19 to 21 about possessions. You know, he said that you take heed, beware of covetousness over in Luke 12, 15 also. He talked also about, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't have a car to get here to church. Thank God you got that. Having possession things is one thing, but when things possess you, you're in a heap of trouble. See, that's what, you know, when you get to that point. And so we find that in having things or things having you, that's a big difference. But when those things or the pursuit of those things, and I think this was what happened to Demas and many even today, distract us from our purpose on this earth, which is to glorify God Almighty and with all of our being, then we've started down a road that is not pleasing to the Lord, out of the will of God. We're not on the straight and narrow. We're on the broad that leads to destruction, you might say, for all those that are lost. And we likely in this life suffer consequences. You cannot fail God and suffer not the consequences. And it's going to be, you hurt yourself, you hurt others, you hurt the cause of Christ. See, that's what Demas was doing, and it hurt Paul. Paul, most of all, who's writing inspired by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is telling us about Demas here. Yes, Paul is, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, so you got the distraction of possession. Secondly, you got the distraction of position. You know, Matthew 6:33 says that we ought to seek what? Number one, priority one, the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And number two, you know, a lot of people say, well, seek first the kingdom. He goes on to say, the Lord says, and his righteousness. You know, when we think of what Christ, his righteousness, his right ways, yes, true, but his righteousness that was imputed to us, that we're saved by the righteousness of Christ, why, the distraction of a position that we ought to be in is a humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So there's distraction of position, I say, and possessions. But thirdly, the distraction of pleasure. I mean, Paul warned about in the end time. You remember 2 Timothy? Pastor just preached on this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. And I've hit on that so many times, I think, because we have to. Because the generation that Paul spoke about, it was in his day and it's in our day. And we find that people that would love themselves and the pleasure more than God, for men shall be, he says, and the word there, he says, perilous. The word perilous means very dangerous times, treacherous times. Why? Oh, men will be lovers of themselves. How's that dangerous? Loving their own selves, covetous, boasters, they'll leave you hanging. they'll cause the purpose of Christ to be hindered in the work of these local New Testament churches that Christ has started and continues to start. We pray and hope. But Matthew 24:12, I preached on a text over there talking about the chill of love. It says, in the last days, Christ said that many shall, caught up in worldliness. The love of, and the word is agape for love. The love of many shall wax cold. The chill of love. You know, agape, talking about divine love, is talking about people that are saved by the grace of God in the last days, you know. When we should be standing for God, people, because of hard times come upon us, we back off from the service ministry of Christ. You know, Jesus warns about the cares, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures are going to choke the word over there in Matthew 13:22. Don't have time to turn there. He said, you know, talking about the thorns out there, that he that heareth the word of God is like he that the thorny bush there that received the word of God, but the cares of this life just choked it out. Deceitfulness of riches. So you got the distraction of pleasure, but what about the distraction of problems, the fourthly? And that is, the devil will be busy stirring up a lot of problems that seemingly have no solutions. Peter tells us what to do in times of problems. I mean, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. And remember, I was telling you, that's a good, we always quote that verse. But then, if you read on what he says, then he goes on, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roaring lion, walking around, seeking whom he may devour, you know. That's right after, you know, cast your cares to the Lord. Difficulty days, you know. But because the devil, listen, the problems of this life, you got to watch it, that the devil will use your hard times that you go through to get you sidetracked from the will of God, out of the will of God, and sidetracked into the world, see? And so, yeah, we got three things, the world, the devil, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Yes, we have on our enemy list there, we've got many that are things that are against us and people like the devil. The devil's busy stirring up the distraction of the problems. He stirs up problems, you know. Peter tells us that be sober, be vigilant, because your devil is on the move. Now, so first of all, we got distractions. They abound. Secondly, you got the deceitfulness is awful. What do I mean by that? Well, consider the truth about Satan. You know, what Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians to the church in Corinth in verse 3 and 4. He says, hey, if our gospel be hid, hey, at the word hid there in the fourth chapter is the same word in the Greek that's used in the chapter earlier, that where it talks about Moses had his face veiled, you know, hid. It's the same word, hid, veiled. If our gospel be veiled, you know, can't see it. He says there, but if our gospel be hid, Paul says, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, into their hearts, that is, you know, and the gospel. Into the heart. That's where it works. It starts there by the Holy Spirit, regenerating, illuminating, and quickening. So the devil, what's considered the truth about him, the devil is a great blinder. I mean, some call evil good and today. Oh, many call evil good and good evil, right? We're living in a day in our society, in the United States, that was not this way. And now today, the devil has a great blinder. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good, good evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Man, we're there today, aren't we? And it put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. No wonder people, I talk to everybody on the street, man, anybody that listens, you know, I'm over at the gym. I'm talking to the old guys over there and, you know, and some of them listen. Some of them patiently listen. Others, well, I got to go. You don't want to get away from the old man. He's a preacher. I don't mind. I kind of lock the door. Don't let him get out. The wicked are exalted, and people are blind to the truth, and the result is to do evil and suffer consequences. The blinding of the devil, the deceitfulness is awful because of the blinding that's going on. Not only that, but what about the blaming? Man. Not only in the political world, but I mean even neighbor to neighbor, people. We fall for the devil's lies, and then we blame others for our failures. You know what happened with Adam? He blamed Eve. Well, you know, she gave me to eat, and I ate, you know. Instead of being responsible people today for our actions, we want to feel we were right, and they were wrong, and we're going to let them know, too. Yeah. But thirdly, something else there, we got the blinding and blaming, but what about the briefness? What do we mean by that? Well, one thing about deceit, it usually is very brief. It is. Deceit is brief. What do I mean? Well, it starts out, it's brief. You know, you're locked in right away. You get out of the will of God. It doesn't take long. It's very brief. I mean, the transition into darkness, the move, it's quick. It's very deceptive. It's not long until we know we've been doing our own bidding and been fooled. Oftentimes, we continue in deceit because of pride. We cover one sin up with a lie, and then we got a lie, cover up a lie for the lie, you know, and how that goes. And here we go. Now, thirdly, because I got to close this thing real quick, right, Phil? Phil, get that hand moving. The disobedience is acceptable. Wow, boy, I got to wet the whistle here. Oh, that's good. If you need a drink, don't get up until I finish. Okay. And get you one. Okay. So you got the distractions. They abound. You've got the deceitfulness. It's awful. And thirdly, you got the disobedience. It's acceptable. The Word of God teaches us to obey the Lord. That's our obligation. That's what we over there in Acts chapter 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than men. ought. That O-U-G-H-T, look at it. Look how many times it's in Scripture. When we ought to follow the Lord, we ought to do what's right. Ought. That's a good word. It is. It speaks of responsibility that we have. It's an obligation, yes. Sometimes we know what the Bible says, and yet we don't do it, you know. Sadly, we accept a disobedience way and make it a practice. And next thing you know, we got all kinds of problems, and we wonder why. Well, the reason why we got problems is because it's the other one, you know. Yeah. The will of, not only the Word of God, but disobedience too, but the will of God. We hear the word, Lord's Word, and we choose to do our will rather than His. We say, not thy will, but my will be done. Basically, in our life, in our direction. Galatians 6:7-8 says, don't be not deceived. Whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. And boy, the reaping is going to be a sad one. We choose to disobey the Lord. We can't feel right doing wrong. We can't feel close when we disobey the Lord. Not to the Lord, when we disobey the Lord. Who's moved? It's like, you know, I used to say about Wanda and I, you know, she used to sit next to me. You know how it is when you're first married, you know? We're going on 45. I don't know where we're at now. It's been a long time. But used to sit next to me, you know, and then she'd be way over there, and I say, hey, who moved? Well, that's a little funny there, but it's not funny when we move out of the will of God, move away from the Lord. We're moving into coldness, darkness, blindness. You understand what I'm saying? How'd Demas get the way he was? From what he was, I mean, to where we read of him, the last mentioning, three times, first two, great co-worker, fellow laborer, helper in the Lord. Paul spoke well of him. And now, he said, Demas, come, Timothy. I want to encourage you because my time's short. You know, and it was. And they took him out and beheaded him, the Apostle Paul. You say, God could have... We see the providence of God in Paul's life up to that point. God said, you'll be a witness unto me. And in a lot of places, boy, man, what a fast ministry, quick, covering all that ground, on the move, missionary endeavors. You never see anything like it, right? And the Apostle Paul, because it was in his heart, burning. What's burning in our heart? The fire is getting a little bit cold. Well, let's get to the last point. That is the deserting it. It's agreeable. We get to the point, we quit. You know, a person can't live two lives. I mean, James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, double-minded, they're actually, the commentaries will tell you double-hearted. You had a heart for the Lord. Now you're starting to get a heart for the world. And you're divided in your priorities. You're divided in your life. And so Demas quit Paul and the Lord also. He just had, not Paul only, he quit the Lord because he was serving the Lord. He loved the world more than the Lord. And there's a lot of saved people, folks, because they love someone or something more than God. They quit. And not only that, I got questions. The devil caused Eve to question what God had said. Hath God said, listen, you don't have to be that serious, preacher. You don't have to be that serious, Christian. You don't have to, you know, I know thus saith the Lord, but hey, come on. You know, God understands. When we start excusing our sin or our ways, look out. So what we find here, Demas quit Paul, but he quit the Lord. And the question I've got is why? Why did he do it? Well, there's a lot of reasons that I can tell you. Some are saved, searching for something else. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13, Solomon made a search for life. He said, you know, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I live a long life. And the book of Ecclesiastes, he summarizes it in conclusion like this. He says, fear God. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's it. So distractions, deceitfulness, disobedience, deserting. And then we find the damage, you know. Damage is accountable. You know, what you do, whatsoever a man soweth, like I said, will or woman. You see the heaviness. The saved cannot turn their backs on the Lord without experiencing a great heaviness and a hurt. I mean, if you choose to be a Demas, prepare for a life of misery, guilt, and unhappiness, right? And, well, David, he sinned, and we're told that he even showed contempt for the Lord and his word. David, the sweetest psalmist of Israel, the one who, hey, Philip, back here, whoa, hey, whoa, okay. I'm about ready to pull in the driveway. Hold on here. Here we go. I'm going to stop phase one. Our dear pastor says, hey, listen, if you got a lot of stuff, you pick it up next week. And I will. I will. I think you've heard enough and everything. I've got the tragedy of spiritual desertion. And basically, it's a whole lot of scriptures right here. I might, if I can get enough ink on my printer, I'm going to run off copies of these. Basically, a lot of scripture, but basically from the Lord. I'm about the world. And what the world, its effect on us, the world, we are warned about it. I'll give you a copy. You know, the world has a prince, that's the devil. It has a philosophy that is not, you know, way of life. Philosophy, a lover of life, way of life. The world has a way of life, but it's not the Lord's way. A prince, a philosophy, and a purpose. And we'll get into that next week. Let me see. Do I have anything on this part here? Well, we need to realize that we are accountable to God for the damage done to ourselves, to our families, to the Lord's church, to the Lord's cause. We'll give an account one day. People don't think about that. There's the bema seat of Christ that we'll all give an account. Whether you're going to be saved or lost, no. But we need to turn from ourselves and turn to the Lord, amen, if you're saved and not out of the will of God, right? But secondly, also, if people are lost. You know, I was talking to a policeman last night. I witness everybody. He's parked in the church parking lot that we go by all the time over there on Moore Street, you know, in Ashland. And he's there, and I pulled in. I said, hey, I've talked to you before, haven't I? Yes, you have. And so, of course, I gave him my bag. Wanda says, hey, don't give them your life story. Hey, Wanda, I'm sorry. I think it's a pretty good transitional for me. So I give it to him. And this policeman, I was talking to him, and I asked him, of course, obviously, are you saved? And yes. And I told him about the situation that we're in today and talked to him about why I'm a Baptist minister, why I'm in the faith that I am in. And I'll tell you what. I'm thankful that he listened. We had a good talk. I talk to everybody. I want to know, first of all, are they saved? You don't have to be a Baptist to be saved, but I'll tell you what. I like going first class, don't you? Amen. Heaven, heaven bound, first class, right? Amen. All right, that's it. And thank you. Thank you. Let's see here. Is that 11 o'clock? Oh, 11:02, 2 minutes over. Ooh, sorry. Here, you want to do that? Here, how do you do that?
There you go.